I think we are unfortunately in a spot in society right now where there has to be an economic benefit to everything for us to see the value in investing in it. But sport, and by extension, art and culture, we are just, they are just worthwhile because those are the things that make us human. Those are the things that make living life worthwhile. You can't place an economic value on those things. Some things should just be done because they are good and have a social importance. Welcome to a special episode of the Sports for Social Impact podcast. It's a video podcast, so if you're listening on Spotify, you can actually watch this episode. So I had the opportunity to attend the Youthful Cities Urban Work Summit, Calgary edition. Youthful Cities is hosting four such summits across the country in Vancouver, Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal. And the summit was all about the future of work in Canadian cities, designed and delivered by young workers, powered by the 2023 Urban Work Index. Youth are the center of new work, yet they are rarely given the opportunity and the keys to unlock and drive the future of work, especially in cities. The summit brought together cities and youth to navigate the future of work in a post-pandemic environment and create a localized and youth-centered action plan. The Urban Work Index measured affordability, health, good youth jobs, transportation, city economy, diversity, education, digital access, climate action, and entrepreneurial spirit. All of these things impact well-being in the city for young people. Sport and recreation is a really important aspect of a city's well-being. And it is interesting to note that parks, green spaces, sport and recreation facilities were not part of the measurement in the Urban Work Index conducted by Youthful Cities. It did, however, survey youth on alternative modes of transportation and did consider the cost of a gym membership to impact affordability. I think next time including more metrics around parks, green spaces, and sport and recreation more into the index would be an important topic to measure as it directly impacts the livability of a city. So as I said, this is a video podcast. In this episode, you'll see clips from the summit and some of my favorite spots around the city. I hope you enjoy. Day one of the summit, the overarching theme was explore. We asked ourselves the questions, where do we want to be, where are we at, and where do we want to be? Delegates were presented data analytics and insights to reflect on the current state of work localized to Calgary. Delegates constructed future scenarios on the trajectory of urban work over the next few years. And we reviewed the existing data and knowledge to explore what the delegates believed the challenges, stresses, and shocks were. This culminated in a creative and interactive way where we mapped out several possible scenarios for the future of work in our cities. Upon registration, we were divided into groups to discuss the question I just noted, specific to one of the themes about the future of work. The themes we divided up to focus on were education, learning, employer needs, barriers to skill development and employment for equity denied groups, workplace culture, well-being and expectations, city economy, so gig work, green jobs, and digital technology, and well-being in the city, affordability, infrastructure, and services, and finally, entrepreneurship, startups, and small businesses. So my group focused on well-being in the city. We talked about the issues that we were facing. We talked about leisure, income, transit, food, public safety, and a lot of other aspects that make a city desirable to live in. We drilled down even further and identified specific issues such as food prices, unreliable and infrequent public transit, housing unaffordability, and how a lot of these issues were created by suburban sprawl. After discussing the challenges we face, we envisioned a future. In 5 years, where do we want to be? What does the future look like for each of these challenges? And after all that, the groups at the end of the day were able to present what we had discussed for our themes. Then we had a few minutes to go around to each group and imagine potential solutions to the problems. The solutions were aimed at getting us to the envisioned future that we had discussed. How can we create more reliable public transit? How can we create more stable food prices or public transit? So many discussions and so many solutions came out of the day one discussions. Summit day two, we created. We asked ourselves two questions. What can we create, and how do we deliver? This is where delegates turn their ideas into actionable programs and policy recommendations to help cities prepare for and excel at the future of work. Delegates explore the potential of innovation by digging deeper into possible ideas and actions. Delegates looked at making cities attractive for workers and employers specific to the urban context. So at the start of day two, we reviewed the proposed solutions that had been brainstormed at the end of day one. For each of the themes, we were able to pick from our clusters of ideas that we would like to work on for the day. Over the course of day two, we fleshed out the idea with mentors and staff from youthful cities to create actionable programs that could implement in our cities. Groups had the option to continue working on their ideas over the next few weeks and present at a pitch competition and receive a possible grant to implement their ideas over the next few months. I stuck with the overarching theme of well-being in the cities with a subtopic of food security in the city. Our solution focused on food programming and education in schools about where food comes from and how to grow your own food. Connecting kids and young people with local organizations like Highfield Regenerative Farm, that we had on the podcast earlier, really increasing those active environments in the city and also building up food security through education, giving kids the tools and power and resources to grow their own food. Really tackling a plethora of different issues in the city and really thinking about how we can make the city more livable, affordable, and increasing that built infrastructure to building that community and that sense of community among all of our neighbors. It's something that we really talk about a lot on this podcast. So I really wanted to discuss it more with some of the other youth in the city that were attending the summit. So that was a little bit about my experience at the summit. Now I really wanted to dive into Canada's and Calgary's active economy and how that plays into the future of work and the future of urban living. So I've actually had an episode, about this specifically, the active economy, back in season one with an organization here in Calgary called The Active City. But I wanted to expand that and look more across the country and even some international examples as well. So advocates in the field of sport, physical activity, and recreation, or SPAR, have long claimed that being active is crucial not only for health and well-being, but also provides important societal, environmental, and economic impacts. Many of these are quantifiable and can be illustrated. It can illustrate the impact of our community and our country. A new cutting-edge study by the Canadian Fitness and Lifestyle Research Institute and the Canadian Parks and Recreation Association use trusted data sources to measure the economic, social, the health, and environmental impacts of SPAR. These numbers prove that investing in sport, physical activity, and recreation can help pay substantial dividends and can help combat some of today's most complex problems, something that we really like talking about on this podcast. All this culminates in the report, The Price of Inactivity, Measuring the Powerful Impact of Sport, Physical Activity, and Recreation in Canada. This report is very comprehensive, and I will be talking about some of the findings and some of the numbers next. I will also be complementing this with additional numbers from various other sources. And all of these resources are available in the podcast show notes. So the total economic value or economic impact is estimated at $37.2 billion. This breaks down into $21.5 billion in retail sales, which is athletic footwear, sporting equipment, and recreational vehicles, $8.8 billion in recreation and amusement sector. So the recreation and amusement sector is comprised of golf courses and skiing facilities and country clubs and fitness and recreational sports and other amusement and recreational facilities. $6.9 billion in the sports sector itself, so organized sports at $1.9 million, informal sports at $391,000, education and training is at $2.8 million, and governance funding in professional sports is at $1.7 million. Additionally, Canada hosts over 250,000 sport events annually, ranging from professional events to multi-sport amateur games and local tournaments. These all provide economic benefits in the form of visitor spending. I think it's also really important to note because often these events are made possible by volunteers. So in 2020, it was estimated that the total value of volunteering in terms of hours spent volunteering at sport events was $13.6 billion. That's a lot of volunteer hours. In the United Kingdom, Sport England has also done a lot of research into this space, and they found that for every £1 spent on physical activity in England, it returns almost £4 of social and economic value. The environmental impact is reflected as the replacement value of spa facilities and active transportation infrastructure, totaling at $42.5 billion. So that breaks down into $33.5 billion in recreational sport facilities and $9 billion in active transport infrastructure. Further, if only 1% of Canadians switched from private car use to active transportation, an estimated 564 million could be saved annually in terms of reduced greenhouse gas emissions. All levels of government combined spent about $2 billion on sport, recreational, and physical activity infrastructure. In total, the federal government contributed $267 million towards the development and maintenance and a repair of sport infrastructure. Provincial and territorial governments made similar total contributions to facilities, a total of $241 million. And municipal governments invested $1.5 billion in infrastructure, the bulk of which went towards indoor and outdoor facilities. Some of this municipal investment could be from federal or provincial territorial funding through grants and contributions, though. I think this is reflective of which level of government is seen as primarily responsible for sport and recreational facilities. It is really up to municipal governments to be providing these services to Canadians, which, presents challenges as this level of government has very limited ability in able to collecting and raising taxes to pay for many of these day-to-day services and, sport and recreational facilities that Canadians use. And the study also found that 61% of Canadians favored increasing government spending of SPAR. So, that's pretty big support for that. There are also health impacts and costs. So the direct cost of select non-communicable diseases and depression is at $3.87 billion and $36.9 million in costs associated with premature mortality. A 10% decrease in physical inactivity across the population could reduce healthcare spending by about $629 million per year. The number of Canadians who worked in information, culture, and recreation in January 2024 was sitting at 843,000. In Calgary specifically, Calgary's active economy includes about 4,000 enterprises employing 43,000 people, and which contributes about $3.3 billion to the regional economy. This is all very interesting, and I think that this is the future of work in cities. More sport and recreation. Not only does it make the city more livable and affordable, but it also creates jobs. There's a huge opportunity here. And as more people are looking for experiences rather than material goods, sport and recreation offers this. Expanding active transport routes is also a really big economic opportunity, which will have impact on our healthcare. It will also have an impact on our environment. And it will offer an opportunity for creating jobs in terms of building that infrastructure, repairing bikes, and things like that are associated with active transportation. It's also a big opportunity to building up public bike share programs. We are also lacking infrastructure capacity for sport programming. We can invest more in facilities to create space availability, build more community sport teams, which create jobs in coaching and administration. Building more sport and recreational facilities creates more jobs in construction and administration for those buildings as well. I see it every day, and I hear it every day, that sport programming is maxed out. There are wait lists for summer camps for kids, and competitive sport teams are also being maxed out. So we can grow the sport sector a lot, and I think it's really important to note the importance of sport in developing skills for youth that can help them enter the workforce with success as well. So I think that these are some of the trends that we need to support and talk about in the sport sector more. I've really talked a lot about the economy, the economic benefits of sport in this episode and how it can create jobs and all the ways that the sport sector can contribute to SDG 8, decent work and economic growth. However, I do just want to end off by saying that sport is also just good. I think we are unfortunately in a spot in society right now where there has to be an economic benefit to everything for us to see the value in investing in it. But sport, and by extension, art and culture, they are just worthwhile because those are the things that make us human. Those are the things that make life living life worthwhile. You can't place an economic value on those things. Some things should just be done because they are good and have a social importance. And that is it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening or watching this episode of the Sports for Social Impact podcast. What do you think the future of work and sport looks like?